We are live from the Gray. Want to say thank you also to his band members, the incredible musicians Kieran Ledwidge fiddle and Matt Murphy on upright bass. And you know what? It has been a long week, aren't they all? We talked this week with the creators of the Cartoon Network's Samurai Jack show. We took a bite into Georgia's craft chocolate movement. And we talked about the wage gap between men and women. So it's time. We've gathered a group of smart people to reflect back on the week's news. Time for the break room.
The President of the United States does not have the authority to unilaterally order the wiretapping of an American citizen.
It is a new day for soccer in the South. It is a wonderful opportunity for one of the best teams over the last few years to spoil the party.
Bonjour.
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 Bonjour. There goes the baker with his tray.
It is a statewide break room today. Joining me at the Gray Restaurant, our Connect Savannah community editor, Jessica Lilibos. Nice to see your face for once.
Right, exactly. It's wonderful to be here.
And Savannah Magazine editor, Amy Condon. Hello, Amy.
Hello, good morning.
And hopefully in our Atlanta studios is Commissioner Steve Brown of the Fayette County Board of Commissioners. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Celeste. They're actually letting me sit in your chair today, so I'm feeling the power.
Ooh. Okay, don't do anything I wouldn't do. Joining us by Skype is veteran John Jackson, who runs a farm in Milledgeville. Hi there, John.
How's it going, guys?
It's going well. Welcome to everyone. All right, well, we might as well dive into it. Over the weekend, President Trump accused former President Obama of wiretapping his phones. He gave no evidence to back that up. And here is Republican Senator U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina speaking on CNN.
The current president has accused the former president of basically wiretapping his campaign. One of the ways you could do that legally is obtain a warrant from a federal judge. It'd have to be probable cause that the Trump campaign was up to some nefarious activity with the Russians or somebody else. If there is no warrant, that excludes that possibility.
So my question is, what do you want to happen now? Let's actually start with you, John, in Milledgeville. What do you want the next step to be?
Well, I say we wait and see how this pans out. You know, after all, you know, investigation was conducted while Trump was running for president. So why wouldn't Trump be subjected to wiretapping, especially if the allegations are directly against him? And let's remember, you know, that Eric Snowden is on the run for exposing that Americans, you know, are being wiretapped. So it's not something new. And, you know, Trump may have a genuine right to feel this way. So I just want to wait to see, you know, how this all pans out.
Steve, what do you think?
Well, we've got a problem. There's no doubt about it. And the person who's really in the catbird's in the hot seat, I should say, is James Comey, the FBI director. The Democrats are furious with him. The Republicans are furious with him. Then you've got the Department of Justice, which Senator Graham was right. The Department of Justice would have to file for that FISA warrant, not the president. But you had Loretta Lynch meeting with Bill Clinton in a private setting, you know, during the campaign. You had the Secret Service going after Representative Jason Chaffetz after he had talked about the Secret Service misbehaving. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but there's an incredible amount of mistrust. And I think the best way to do it is go ahead and investigate it.
With the special prosecutor, Jessica and Amy, what do you think?
I agree with the special prosecutor that you bring in someone independent the way that Janet Reno did with Bill Clinton. Just immediately said, had the courage to say, look, recuse myself, let's bring in an independent person to investigate these allegations.
Jessica, what do you want to happen?
Well, I mean, what do I want to happen? I mean, a special prosecutor, why aren't we really investigating the Russian ties with Donald Trump? Why, this is all a distraction.
But I think that's what would happen.
I should say that there actually is an open investigation open in the FBI that continues.
Continues, yeah. But in accusing Obama of wiretapping the president during the campaign, or you know, he wasn't president yet, the campaigning during the campaign. I mean, you know, obviously, don't you read WikiLeaks? They're watching us through our TVs anyway. So
forget about the phones.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this, 1973?
All right.
But I think if you can take the emotion out of it and put, you know, there's like three outcomes that could happen.
Right.
You know?
But they all require investigation. All right. Since we're talking about wiretapping, of any new book. An educational psychologist says the key to spying on your teenager is to let them know that you're doing it. So here's the thing. Is it okay to spy on your kids? And should you inform them that you're doing it? Or does informing them make them better at hiding what they're doing?
Oh, well, since I have a 17-year-old who would love, yes, I have two teenagers who try to hide things from me on social media all the time. I will say that I let them know that I'm watching them, and yet they still manage to, you know, I don't really Snapchat, so I don't, you know, I think that that's where they are most of the time, because I'm looking at their Instagram accounts going, well, everything looks very
their
clean.
Their real Instagram account, right? Or their fake Instagram.
So the fake Insta, the Finsta accounts, they, you know, somehow they still leave them open.
That's where they put the twerking videos.
Exactly.
John, what about you? Do you think it's okay?
Oh, absolutely. You know, back in the day, you know, we used the word of God to scare kids into doing right. And, you know, I think teens are going to find the path of least resistance to, you know, to do the dirt. And I think it's crafty to use psychological warfare on teens who are obviously smarter than their parents, because we know all teens are smarter than their parents. And we have a saying in special operations that, you know, the best use of force is the show of force. And it really works.
Steve, what do you think?
Well, I think spying is the wrong term to use, and I would like to see parents, and this is what I do with my children. My youngest child is now a freshman in college, so every one of the apps that came along happened during my children's lifespan. So we sat there and we talked about a lot of the dangers, and you rationalize with your children and say, look, this is the potential danger. This is what can happen. We'd like to be part of this. And then you try to stay out of their digital life as much as you can. Don't post. Don't make yourself present on any of the social apps, and just kind of watch things. And if you see something, you bring it up. And that's the best way to go.
Something.
Do any of y'all use the parental controls on anything?
You know,
my son knows how to get around those.
It seems like that those are mostly for the parents to feel better.
Okay, they
don't
but
really
they don't
agree.
Yeah. My stepson is so much older. I didn't have to go through any of this.
Oh, I see.
Although I was clued in enough to go, I know what you're up to.
Right, Buster. It is Friday. We're in the break room. We're coming to you live from the Gray in Savannah. Just ahead, we'll talk about why Americans are having less sex than perhaps ever before, how you choose a college major, and the reboot of Beauty and the Beast. Our music today from musician Christopher Paul Stelling. This is On Second Thought. This is On Second Thoughts. I'm Celeste Headley, coming to you live from the Gray Restaurant in Savannah. We are here for the Stopover Music Festival, and we've been hearing the music of a musician, Christopher Paul Stelling, and his band, so we want a big thank you to them while they're still here. And we're having coffee and conversation in the break room. We do it every Friday. My guests today at the Gray are Jessica Lee Libos of Connect Savannah, Amy Condon of Savannah Magazine. In Atlanta is Steve Brown. He's a commissioner with the Fayette County Board of Commissioners, and joining us by Skype from his farm in Milledgeville is veteran John Jackson. And we want to say thank you, as we always do, to Savannah Coffee Roasters. They donate the coffee that we usually drink every morning. They're online at savannahcoffee.com. Okay, now a report just came out that says American adults, all of them, are having less sex.
Al, let's have sex.
No pig.
Okay, the study comes from the journal Archives of Sexual Behavior. American adults had sex 9 fewer times in 2014 than they did in the late 1990s. This average yearly decline is across the board. Everybody, including millennials, which seems to have surprised a number of people, it is particularly low for married couples. That is where the significant decline has come in. So, bad sign?
Well, I just have to preface it to say my husband and I are definitely the high end. I love you, honey. You're super sexy.
Thank you to say that.
But, you know, these aren't exactly sexy times. I mean, you know, reproductive justice and birth control are under threat. I mean, mom jeans are making a comeback. I mean, you know, I mean, this isn't...
Wait,
you know,
mom jeans aren't sexy?
pulled them back out from like the 90s.
You know, I mean, we have so many distractions in bed. I mean,
so
you know.
She's going to blame it on the news headlines. Steve, what do you want to blame it on?
Well, you know, I would have thought in the age of Viagra and Cialis that sex would be way up on the charts because you have the ability to have sex. But even the studies show that Viagra doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a significant increase in sexual frequency. So I think.
Well, yeah, because there's a partner on the other end.
Yeah, I was like, those are specifically for men.
Well, you're right. You're exactly right. Yeah. But I think this non-work computer usage, people spend so much time on the computer and they handle their relationships via the computer now. And there's not a lot of the physical intimacy and that's involved maybe in years past.
Well, joining us by Skype, John Jackson. Chris, our band seemed to think a lot of it to blame is the cell phone. Are we spending too much time on our cell phone and not being intimate? John?
I think you guys got it all wrong. It was an election year. Everybody's stressed out about Trump. Everybody's sitting around eating, you know, Lickies and Chewies, getting fat. So Americans just are pretty much just fat and unattractive right now.
Oh, honey, you need to speak with you for yourself, baby. I'm as lean and mean as I've ever been. Are you kidding me?
Jessica Lee Lebos is a stone cold babe, John. Amy, what do you think?
I think Trump has made some of us women far more righteous.
I think so too. In fact, it might be that, you know, I guess for like that. The week following the election, I mean, I think my husband and his friends were a little bit scared because they were, you know, the women were rising up and they were afraid they would never get laid again. But, you know, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say that. But I mean,
public radio. Jessica.
Sorry, excuse me. I mean, we would be having less sex than ever. However, I think that it's risen. I think that women actually feel empowered, and it's definitely not due to Cialis or Viagra.
Okay, I'm gonna, before the FCC calls, I am gonna move on. It's okay. On Wednesday. Wednesday was International Women's Day. To mark the day, a Wall Street firm put up a statue of a determined young girl facing down the Wall Street bull. The company wanted to call attention to the tiny number of women who serve on boards at the largest U.S. corporation. So let me start with our women. Did it work for you?
Yes and no. I think it helped start a conversation, and it was a powerful statement that the future is female, and these younger women are going to be the ones to take this on.
Yes.
Are they going to inherit this from us? However, it's so temporary.
Yeah, went up for a week.
Right. That in our distractedness with so many different pieces of information coming at us, I don't know that that will be a lasting conversation. It needs to be a lasting conversation.
Jessica?
I agree. I think the temporary nature of it, you know, it was this closed-ended conversation, and it needs to be an open conversation. You know, having a little cutesy girl there was a cute image, and it was impactful at the beginning. But you know, the swinging ponytail and the little tiny—it seemed almost outdated already. I mean, I would have liked to have seen a woman standing there with a briefcase.
Okay, well, let me go to John it. Because John, you might be our expert on whether or not that girl would actually have a chance against that bull. I'm thinking no. Oh. Did it work for you symbolically?
If she was my daughter, yes, because my daughter is a firecracker, I'll tell you that. But, you know, having served in one of the most amazing units in the world with the best leaders, you know, my opinion is that, you know, leadership should never be defined by gender or race, and either you have it or you don't. And with that being said, everybody should have the opportunity, you know, to show their craft. And me personally, I would never hire someone based on gender. They must be a subject matter expert. They have to motivate people, and they have to be a leader. So bring it. And if you're a female, you know, just bring it. That's how I feel about it.
Steve?
Well, you know, I think it is a shame that we only have 16% of the board seats in the Russell 3000 who are women. That number, I think, is going to increase coming up in the later years. I don't think it's going to reach parity by any stretch, but you've got fewer women who are marrying, fewer are having children, and you'll probably see more of them going ascending up the ladder instead of looking at family type of issues.
Jessica and Amy are itching in their seats.
Yeah, I mean, is that an implication that getting married and having children removes you from a leadership potential?
Nor should it.
No, and I'm not saying that, but you take somebody like Marissa Mayer, for example, the CEO of Yahoo. She built a nursery adjacent to her office and things like that. I think that's a very unrealistic picture for most women in the United States. They're not going to be able to build a nursery suite next to their office or next to their cubicle. And, you know, there are family concerns. And women tend to be obviously more conscious about family concerns than men because there are a lot of men who are spending a lot of late nights in the office and not at home.
We're going to move on because I know we could stay here for the rest of the hour. We are hanging out in the break room. You have three women here ready to meet you and speak, Sean, over coffee.
That would be great.
Steve, we're in the break room. Jessica Lelivos of Connect Savannah, Amy Condon of Savannah Magazine, Steve Brown of the Fayette County Board of Commissioners, and Farmer John Jackson. And we have a live audience. Let's hear from you guys. We are at the Gray Restaurant in Savannah. Okay, speaking of powerful women, actress Emma Watson famously played Hermione Granger, the real star of the Harry Potter films. She, this time, is starring as Belle. Oh, I just got some dirty looks. She's starring as Belle in the live-action version of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Let's hear a little clip.
Something sweet and almost kind, but he was mean and he was coarse and unrefined, and now he's dead.
Okay, leaving beside the fact that she's having a relationship with a water buffalo, yes. The film cost $300 million to make. So this is a major gamble on Disney's part, and the question is, will it pay off? And Steve, let's go to you first.
Well, you know, I live right down the street from Pinewood Studios, so that's where they shoot most of the big Marvel movies, and they've been very, very successful. But you're looking at movies that have a budget of around $75 to $150 million, so $300 million is a huge chunk of change. I think Emma Watson was a perfect choice for Belle. She's got a lot of panache, and everybody likes her in the from the Harry Potter film, so I think that will probably help. But I cannot see them making the money in the United States. Maybe they make it up on ticket sales abroad, but in the United States, I don't see it.
John, does your daughter want to go see it?
Yeah, I think Disney has done a great job of brainwashing my kids with that song. So, yeah.
I think Skype is letting us down there. Jessica, what do you think?
Well, we're a musical theater family, so yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer. Absolutely, we'll go. We'll probably be singing in the aisles. So.
Oh, that's right. If you go to this movie, people are going to sing along, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and again, you know, I think that it is a huge gamble. It's a very expensive movie, but think about, I mean, how many of those golden bell dresses will they now sell more of, you know? I mean, and, you
know. A lot. Okay, let's move on to soccer. It is the world's most popular sport. Atlanta United played its first game in Atlanta last weekend. The game was slightly marred. There was a large group of fans chanting a gay slur during the game. The team issued a very stern statement, but this raises a larger question for me. How far should sports teams go to punish fans for behavior like this? I mean, should it come down to kicking a paying fan out of their seat if they're doing this stuff? Amy, let's go with you.
Yeah, I think if they're being disruptive or they're interfering with the gameplay, you know, management of a stadium has absolutely the right to go in and say, you know, leave and get out of here. And I think the team did, you know, they immediately addressed it in a statement, which, you know, a lot of teams don't necessarily do that or come and speak out. So I applaud them for that. But I think in this day and age, these things can get really out of hand really fast.
They can. And we're not going to use that gay slur on the air, just a warning.
No. I promise. Sorry.
Yes.
But I do want to say, you know, I mean, soccer, worldwide has, that soccer fans worldwide have reputations for being some of the crudest and rudest. And as soccer gains in popularity in America, we have an opportunity to change the culture here. And I think it's really important that stadium owners and team owners speak out against that bad behavior immediately and engender the kind of atmosphere that we want to take our kids to, that we want to support, good sportsmanship, you know? Let's show the world and that America can be good sports.
John, what do you think?
I agree with everyone. You know, with regards to the stadium or to the team being able to kick those guys out, it's really difficult, though, to hold everyone accountable, you know, in the stadium. Them coming out with a stern response to it was good on them. We just have to continue to remind folks that we are a tolerant country, and we're tolerant of everybody. So that message should be resonated throughout.
Okay, we have a very diverse panel this week in the break room when it comes to job, because we've got magazine editors, we have a farmer and a former veteran, and a veteran, a county commissioner, and of course a public radio host. I will not ask how much money you all make, but it turns out the top earning job in America for the third or so year in a row is physician. Did you consider the earning potential of your college major, Steve?
Clearly.
Well, you know, actually my wife is a physician, and I can tell you it's a little bit jaded when you look at the dollar figures, because they went to school for 32 years and then they have high overhead costs and high liability costs that none of us could imagine. So it's a little slanted, but I didn't think about income or anything like that when I was going to school. I wanted to do something that I wanted to enjoy, and I'm encouraging my children to do the same thing while they're in college.
John, what about you?
Well, they make a lot of money, but they also have a high rate of suicide too, amongst other people in a similar type of profession. So, you know, my look at it is this, you know, I look for quality of life versus, you know, how much I can make. I'm a disabled vet. Obviously I volunteer with my nonprofit all, you know, every day. And as I talk to folks who are in business for themselves, you know, I always ask, you know, are you happy? And that's the main thing. It seems like with a lot of these physicians, depression goes unnoticed in their work, because it's a very high impact what they have to do, and a lot of lives are on the line. And I think that needs to be addressed in the overall, when we look at these type of things.
Jessica?
Well, my major was creative writing,
so not
at all. I was pretty sure I was going to be working in a coffee shop for the rest of my life.
Right. I'm in public radio and opera.
Yeah, there you go, exactly. But my son has announced that he would like to pursue medical school, so I'm pretty much counting on him to take care of me in my old age.
There you go.
And student loans.
Yeah.
Amy?
I didn't think about the long-term financial, because I knew I needed something that would keep me engaged and be different almost every day.
Yes.
And so that's why journalism and planning were always...
Money's boring.
Well, I wasn't motivated by it, but now I'm kind of am.
All right. Well, we are out of time. We are out of time in the break room today. I want to say thank you to all my guests. Jessica Lee Libos of Connect Savannah, Amy Condon of Savannah Magazine, Steve Brown of the Fayette County Board of Commissioners, and Farmer John Jackson. We also want to say a big thanks to the Gray Restaurant for hosting us in their beautiful Yay. Facility for our live broadcast from Savannah. And a big thank you to our audience as well, getting up early to hear us talk about stuff. And special thanks to the incredible musicians who got up much earlier than musicians usually do. Christopher Paul Stelling, Matt Murphy on upright bass, Kieran Ledwidge on fiddle. You can catch them Saturday night at 7 at Savannah's Trinity United Church. The performance is part of the Stopover Music Festival. I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought from GPB News, live from the Gray. Have a great weekend.